Well, hello. This is Tim Henning with the Worship Life Podcast with Mike Harlan. Thank you for joining us for part two of our conversation with Diane Sheets, the vocal coach here in Nashville. And we were so happy to have, we had so much information, Mike, on that last episode. And, you know, we were deciding in here that we have at least one more episode.
Exactly. I think we could, it could be a regular.
We just have to bring her on staff here and we could do one every day probably.
I just hate Brian's not here to hear this because of anybody that I know that needs information about vocal health.
I was going to say.
It may be Brian.
I'm really sad he's missing this.
Brian, the first tenor Brown.
Yes,
who, by the way, is a fantastic singer. But, I hope we'll find out if he heard this or not because he'll comment. But Brian is an excellent singer.
So we'll know if he listens.
First tenor can, like, way up there.
Yeah, kind of guy. Great. That's
but not quite as high as our resident alto, Craig Adams.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's true. He can double. He can double for the female vocal.
Would people
on the
be surprised to learn that actually there are a few solos on Lifeway products that are female solos that Craig Adams is who sings them?
Yes,
but it sounds like.
I'm sure they would be surprised because I was.
Maybe I shouldn't tell people that. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah.
All right, finish up.
Yeah. Well, that was good. That's it.
Okay. I'll talk about our guest then.
Yeah, do
I mean, it is part two with Diane Sheets. And Diane, if anybody that's hearing this that didn't hear part one, need to go back and hear part one just to hear your story of how you got into this work, because it's a great story of God's providence and his faithfulness in your life. And that was encouraging, inspiring to me how You know, I've got my own version, my own story of what God's done in my life, but one of the blow-away moments of my life was the day that I came to Lifeway, felt his calling to come here, and flashed back in my mind 30 years to when I was a boy, and hearing God speak to me, I saw this day on that day, and have ordered your steps all the way to here. Yeah. And then, by the way, he would also say, I see the day out there today. And trust me to get you there, too.
Yeah, that's so good.
And your story is such a beautiful story of that. So we're talking about vocal health. You are a vocal coach. You've been working with artists and bands and have had an amazing story of how you got into that work. So in our last episode, we were talking about how do you help that worship pastor whose voice, I mean, I know, I've been there, where on Sunday night, by the time the last service was over, I'd go home and I couldn't talk.
It's trashed.
Monday morning was... even some pain associated with what I was feeling, you know. And I'm grateful I've never had a significant vocal injury, but I probably scared one half to death a lot of times. So we were talking about some of the practical things that a vocalist can do or a singer or worship pastor can do to kind of take care of their voice. Now, I want you to talk to this guy who's a ministry leader now. Who has singers all around him. And he's leading rehearsals and scheduling solos and working with singers. What are some things a ministry leader can do to promote vocal health in the community of people that he's leading? His choirs, his soloists. Are there some suggestions you have for him?
You bet. Well, I think education is key. And, you know, a lot of singers in the church, if they've not had any semi-professional or professional you know, training or even just experience, they're coming because they want to serve and they want to sing and use their talents. But there's maybe an education piece that needs to be added to their experience at the church. And that is a responsibility of, you know, the music pastor or their team. But I tell you, y'all are so busy.
Yeah.
So many, you know, irons in the fire, and I think it's a piece of education that is not focused on, but it's critical, because and we see it especially around Christmas time.
Oh gosh!
Right,
you know, five rehearsals and five performances all within a 6-day period. You know, it's crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
and people, you know, they go down like flies.
Oh my!
Around Christmas, and it really is a testament to the fact that we need to be a little bit more educated about vocal health and just health in general and how to protect ourselves in those seasons where, you know, we've got viruses and things.
Allergies.
Going on.
Think about what allergies do to people vocally. Good. Great.
Yeah. So I think, you know, finding a way or finding a person on your team that can maybe be responsible for educating people on vocal health or providing resources and educating about hydration and rest. You know, we talked about that last time, and you know, and just good vocal technique and also processes. So for instance, a choir comes in and most people have been working all day, and they come to the church for rehearsal and they grab their music and they go in the choir loft.
They drove through the Wendy's drive-through for a hamburger on their way to church.
Right. So exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and is there water there?
Yeah.
You know, for them, you know, are there cups in a cooler where they can get some water and that way it's like top of mind. Hey, I need to be hydrating my body, and I need to be, you know, thinking about my vocal health.
Yeah.
And then warm-ups. And I know the time frame
time. I was going to ask you about warm-ups, how critical they were. So please,
I think they're critical because just like an athlete, we talked about this on the last podcast, you really have to think about yourself as an athlete. And you would never see a player enter a game or enter a practice without stretching, without getting ready, without warming up their body. Because what happens if you don't do that? You get injured.
Yeah.
And this is what happens with singers.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't warm up. You don't prepare your body. You're not focused on what is the task ahead of me. You know, I've gone from talking on the phone all day to singing soprano in my choir. And I haven't set myself up to do that. And when we don't do that, that's when injuries happen.
Right,
that's when fatigue happens.
I want to tell you what I used to do when I had a choir I led every week. I don't do that now. I am blessed to be part of a ministry that gives me opportunity to lead choir, so I still get to do it, but I'm not in charge of the whole rehearsal. But here's what I used to do. And you tell me, I was very careful what I started the rehearsal with. I didn't take a lot of time on vocal exercises, but I did warm-ups in the context of the music we were learning.
Mm-hmm.
And because, as you just said, I have about an hour and 15 minutes or hour and 20 minutes, and I've got a bunch of music I've got to get through, and I want to learn. So I would pick a song that would be really medium range and wasn't demanding at all, have the choir sing in unison. One of the things I love to do warming up myself is picking a very comfortable note and holding it a long time, sustaining a note a long time.
Yeah.
And I would say the choir, David Hamilton does this a lot at Brentwood Baptist with us, we're going to sing Amazing Grace, the first line of it, but we're not going to take a breath. Now, I realize people are going to catch.
Yeah.
But holding out long thing, the voice, getting that
love
instrument
it.
Going. So that really demanding song where I've got my tenors and sopranos on extreme ranges or whatever, it was 4 or 5 in the rehearsal. It was way over where we were warmed up. So I didn't do vocal warm-ups, but I warmed up my choir with the order of the songs, with the how I got them singing. Do you feel like I was
stewarding that? I think that's great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good management of your time, and you're still accomplishing the goal, which is to get them warmed up and not starting them off where they're going to get hurt, you know?
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about getting hurt.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so how would I know, short of going to a doctor, being examined, how would I know I've hurt myself? What would be the indicators?
Typically, there's the moment in time where you
feel it happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know a friend. I have a close friend. I'll go ahead and tell you about him. Charles Billingsley. You may have even know Charles or worked with Charles. Charles had a very significant vocal event just a few years ago, and he told me the story of how it happened. He had gone to a church, and by the way, this is another tip we can give. Oh, you're going to love this one because you love artists and you work with artists. Guys, when you have an artist in, don't expect that artist to give you every note that he ever recorded.
Yeah.
Song after song after song.
Yeah.
Charles has all these songs, all these power ballads. That's not the only thing he sings, but he has a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And a lot of them end on a B flat that he holds forever.
Yeah.
And he told me he saw a concert list one time on a church, and he looked at it, and it scared him when he saw it. He thought, every one of these songs. Yeah. And I don't know if I should do this. And it was like song number 5.
Mm-hmm.
And he felt it when it happened.
And he knew before. He was thinking.
Yeah, he was thinking ahead.
This is going to be.
My old friend Luke Garrett, I talked about him last time. Luke had a song called Arise that ends on a C sharp. And he would have churches want him to sing that on the Easter Sunday morning sunrise service at 7 a.m. And Luke finally had to, he would tell people before he went to the church, I'm not doing the high note on the end of Arise. So guys out there, when you have that guest artist in, why don't you take care of that artist's voice? You're stewarding that artist's voice that weekend, and you can help. But anyway, I just got off that little soapbox. So moment in time.
Yeah, typically
that a little bit.
Yeah, typically we know. You know, it's and I tell you, a lot of vocal injuries happen out of illness. You know, I've been sick. I've and then I push myself because I have to do this concert. I have to do, you know, or, you know, a Sunday morning solo. And in the midst of that, there's a moment in time where, bam, something happens. Typically, it's like a vocal hemorrhage where you've, you know, you're maybe dehydrated, you're on some medicines that are thinning your blood, and you've pushed too hard, and you've broken some capillaries, and now you have a bruise, basically, on your vocal cord.
Yeah.
And you do feel that. You do feel that. But then there are other injuries or pathology, such as nodules. People talk about having nodules all the time. And I would just say, you do need to go and see your doctor. You need to get checked out. If you believe that there's something wrong with you, and typically we know. You know, if there's something wrong with my body,
I
know.
Is there pain? Would you necessarily feel pain, or would it just be discomfort? Or
not with nodules. Yeah. You typically don't feel pain. Nodules are just calluses.
Yeah. Chronic hoarseness.
Chronic hoarseness. Yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of symptoms.
Yeah.
Overproduction of mucus. Right?
Yeah.
So let me talk about nodules just for a second.
Please do.
Nodules are calluses on the vocal cords. When you get checked out, they're on both sides. It's, you know, because they're rubbing each other.
Yep.
They're going to be bilateral. You're going to see them. And they are calluses. Calluses go away with rest and hydration.
Mm-hmm.
They're typically not a surgery issue.
Yeah.
So typically you'll hear breathy voice, you know, and maybe even a loss of range in a certain part of your range. So it may not
necessarily be the highest part of your range.
Right.
It might be in the mid range.
Absolutely. So you may do something like a pitch glide where you go right? And you have that little spot missing. And and it's not like in your break or anything. It's just like, man, my voice is, you know, over time has changed, and it's breathy, and I just can't do some of the things that I used to do. And then I have these places in my range. Go get checked out. You just may have a little bit of pathology. But then there are things like polyps.
Yeah.
And I tell you, polyps can show up anywhere in the body. It's not like you can do something to get a polyp. They love mucosal tissue that stays irritated, and then bam, you know, you get. And people get polyps in their sinus cavities, in their colon, and then in their larynx. And people who aren't professional with their voice, or use their voice in a professional way, or, you know, a critical way, they may not even notice that they have a polyp, but it sure can mess up a singer.
Mm.
And, you know, if you have constant inflammation due to overuse or reflux, maybe some things that you're eating or drinking that's causing inflammation in your body, and then all of a sudden, if you're predisposed to maybe getting polyps, you can end up with a polyp on your vocal cord.
Wow.
And oftentimes they don't go away, and you do have to have them surgically removed.
Yeah.
And
that's scary for a singer.
It is scary. And I tell you, I worked with a country group, Little Big Town, and a couple years ago, the lead singer, Jimmy Westbrook, had a polyp. And they were on the rise of, you know, their career, and they went down. And, you know, for a recording artist who, you know, you think about the team around those artists, and somebody goes down with a polyp or any sort of vocal injury, it's not just them.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, it's everybody around
it's
you.
It's everybody.
Yeah.
Lighting guys.
Yeah.
You know, people. Yeah. And I'll tell you, I would love to tell this story.
Please do.
But at a rehearsal, after working with Jimmy, we worked 2 to 3 times a week for 10 weeks, actually. Mm. And when they finally got back on the road and we were doing rehearsal, one of the tech guys came to me and he said, thank you. He said, because without you helping him and getting him back to what he's doing, I wasn't quite sure how I was going to feed my family.
Boy,
that made the impact.
It made it real fast.
Yes. That's right. Yeah.
Wow. That's an amazing story. All right. So you said something a minute ago. I'm going to open a new subject here.
Okay.
You said what you're eating, what you're drinking. Yes. Let's talk about coffee.
Oh, yes. My favorite.
I love coffee.
I love coffee.
It's so good.
I like coffee, too.
It's good. So we're settled. Settled. We like coffee.
Yeah, we like coffee.
Let's move on to something else.
Okay, no.
All right, so I'm going to set you up with this statement. So the caffeine, that's the problem, right?
Not really.
What?
Not really. I know, right?
All right, so explain this to us.
Okay, so caffeine is a diuretic, right? And so you will lose hydration. I always say, look, if you're going to drink coffee, drink it early, except on Sundays.
And often?
Don't drink it on Sundays?
Well, okay, so you're drinking it because you need...
This podcast
she's
is over.
She's destroying everything.
Yeah.
I know. It's so funny because most green rooms in your churches have a Keurig and coffee and creamer and all that good stuff.
Oh, wonderful.
Okay, so, you know, we all have... Well, most of us have little triggers that cause reflux, basically acid that kind of comes up into the esophagus from the stomach. And the problem is that it drips over into the larynx that has this very delicate tissue, mucosal tissue. And ironically, most people think that reflux, the major symptom is heartburn, but that's sort of way down the line. The primary symptom of reflux is postnasal drip.
Wow.
So your body starts making mucus. The problem with coffee is not necessarily caffeine, though that is an issue. It's that it's incredibly acidic. And that becomes the issue.
Wow.
And let's be honest, how many of you drink coffee and then all of a sudden you're clearing your throat?
I'm going to be noticing it now.
Well, you will. Yeah. I'm telling you. Yeah. Most people, it's crazy. So really the problem is the acidity, the production of mucus that really comes from drinking the coffee. And then you have that on your cords and now you're going to go out and use your voice.
Wow.
Well, you're just, again, you're setting yourself up for failure. So find something else, like take a B vitamin. You know what I'm saying? Like take B complex. Have breakfast. Yes. Wake your body up. Do cardio.
I was going to ask you a question. I did this in the last. One of the things I associate when I feel like I'm really free vocally is plenty of rest. We talked about that. Hydration. Mm-hmm. Those were things. Cardio was important to me. But I've always associated my voice being really free and feeling unencumbered with eating. Like if you know the old joke, the singer at the banquet not going to eat until after he sings. I learned over the years, and you tell me if this was me being stupid or if it really was correlated, that I actually sang better when I ate something.
Yeah, because you have to fuel your body.
Yeah.
Just like an athlete. It gets back to that.
Yeah.
You have to fuel your body. Now, if there are foods that have adverse effects on your voice, you know, don't have spaghetti if you have an aversion to tomatoes, you know. Have a sweet potato or something. You know, it's a carb and gives you energy. Like, make smart choices. If you, you know, have an aversion to dairy, don't eat a bowl of cereal on Sunday morning. You know, have some eggs or, you know, something that you know doesn't bother you. But you need to feel your body.
Yeah. And know what works and what doesn't work for you.
Absolutely.
Wow. All right. So
I have a question just to back up.
I can't believe you're doing this again.
I'll edit this so it'll
when
be
when does
in
Brian
the right
get
spot.
Back to town?
I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe
go
a
ahead.
Few minutes.
No, go ahead.
But when I'm rehearsing my choir on Wednesday nights, and I'm trying to is there something I can do to teach them to warm up even before? Because we talk about the whole time
the
thing,
car.
Which is a big deal.
Warm up in the car.
So are there things I can tell them to do that, that I can expect? This is easy enough. You can.
Yeah.
So what are some things I could do?
I think in the last podcast, I told you about my little vocal warm-ups.
Mm-hmm.
Give them a CD.
Yeah.
Like, you know, or have it in their car.
That's
and
cool.
On their way, just say, hey, you know, run through, you know, numbers 1 through 5 or whatever.
And it'll help them take responsibility. Because I'm trying to teach them to, you take responsibility.
Right.
If you're warm when we get here, then we don't have to spend, you know, 15 minutes trying to warm up. So.
Or put it on in the room before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
You know? Oh, as they're coming in. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
This is something you really could say. I would say this sort of thing to my band. I don't know that I ever said it to my singers,
mm-hmm.
but I want to do this now that I've been talking about this. I would always say to my band, hey, guys, when rehearsal's at 6, that's at 6 o'clock, I want you warmed up, your instruments plugged in, you're already
mm-hmm.
tuned.
Yeah.
We're starting at 6. I could say to my choir, hey, or my really, even if you didn't feel like the whole choir could do that, that wasn't reasonable. But, boy, that special vocal team rehearsal
mm-hmm.
or praise team rehearsal, that whatever – hey, when you get here at 7:30, I'm expecting that you've already sung and you're already ready to go. I don't want to risk injuring your voice with the rehearsal, but I can tell you this rehearsal is going to be demanding. Come warmed up.
There's a responsibility.
And what's cool about that is somebody like you, and I want our people to know about this, you've created some resources and some tools
mm-hmm.
to help people do that. And we're going to point to those through this podcast. So some vocal warm-ups you talked about
mm-hmm.
that are available and
mm-hmm.
some things like voice tea. And I want to talk about voice tea a little bit too. But now before we go any further, I want to ask you this question.
Yes.
Tell us how people could find all of your resources. Where are the places where your information and your tools are available for people to find?
You bet. So DianeSheets.com, DIANE. Sheets, like sheets of paper.
Yeah.
Or music, sheets of music.
Absolutely.
Okay, .com. You can find the vocal warm-ups. There are male and female warm-ups out there. They download in a zip file, so you'll need to download them on your computer
mm-hmm.
and then throw them into whatever player, iTunes or what have you. Load them on your phone, stick them in your car, just get it done.
So people can find you on Instagram. What's your Instagram account?
My personal Instagram account is Sheetsy, S-H-E-E-T-S-Y. And I tell you, there are people in Nashville that don't know my first name is Diane. Uh-huh. They know me as Sheetsy.
Sheetsy.
That's awesome. I love it.
That's cool.
And then VoiceTea.com.
All right. So I want to talk about VoiceTea.
Yeah.
Which I'm holding some here in my hand. This particular one's called Green Room, which I think is...
that's the most popular
one. All right. So... tell us about this. How did this come to be and what does it do?
Yeah. Okay. So it really came to be on a tour. It was a multi-artist tour called the Story Tour.
I remember that tour.
Yeah. So Mark.
Tell us some of those artist names because I want people to be familiar with who you're working with.
Mark Hall, Natalie Grant, Jeremy Camp, Matthew West, Selah, Todd Smith, Amy Perry, freaks of
goodness. Can you name somebody that is normal? All of those guys are, I mean, every voice you just are like iconic.
Yeah.
And they probably couldn't even sing before you started working with them.
Yeah,
was that
poor
what
things.
Was?
They were, pathetic.
It was. I know. But anyway.
Oh, my goodness.
But continue.
Yeah. So I was out on this tour with them, and everyone was drinking a tea that you can buy in the grocery store that's mm-hmm. sort of popular in the music circles. And I don't want to slam another company, but I'll just say, a lot of people drink Throat Coat. And Throat Coat is a great medicinal tea. It helps with inflammation. And if you read the box, it says, you know, you can use this tea to help treat symptoms due to illness. And some people love the taste of it. Some people don't. It has licorice root in it.
Mm.
I'm not a fan of licorice root, but some people do like it. The problem is with high amounts of licorice root over an extended period of time, and you can look at the box or do some research, anything over like 3 to 5 days with licorice root, that high of amount can start to cause health issues. So high blood pressure related issues, kidney related issues. And I was talking with Mark Hall and he said, I drink Throat Coat, but I really don't like the taste so much. But I drink it because I think it does help me. But is there anything else out there? And so I went on a mission to try to find something. Hmm. And I didn't really find anything that I really liked. And what I knew is that it needed to be decaffeinated. So it was going to have to be an herbal product. And that I really wanted to use lemons because lemons have so many health benefits. Hmm. And it's not just the lemon rind. It's the whole lemon. The flesh, the seeds, it's high in antioxidants, it's an antiviral, it's an anti-inflammatory. I mean, so many wonderful properties in lemon. And then ginger. But the thing that I found out about ginger is that when you use ginger root, oftentimes it just rehydrates. It's not adding a health benefit unless the ginger is juiced or it's powdered. Mm. And so for my tea, what I did is I just combined a powdered substance. I started dehydrating whole lemons and pulverizing them and putting them in a blend with green rooibos, which is a South African decaffeinated, tea, an herbal. And I started serving this, and I really kind of came up with this idea and was sourcing things while we were out on the road, putting it together and testing it with Mark and Natalie and Todd and Jeremy. They were my guinea pigs.
God bless them.
Yeah. And it was making massive changes.
Wow.
I mean,
that's awesome.
And I tell you what,
that had to be exciting when you were watching all that happen.
It was. And so after that tour, then they were contacting me, hey, can you send me some of that tea? You know? And so then I just, so it just kind of started in my kitchen, honestly.
Wow.
And it's grown into something.
You're a mad scientist. That's what you are. Yeah. You're like a chemist. You're out there doing, what are you working on now is my question.
Oh, yeah, my goodness. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I'm hoping this works. I'm working on creating green room where you just put the powdered substance in hot water and you don't have to steep it. So that's hopefully coming, but that's sort of down the road. But I tell you, I have never asked anyone to post about voice tea ever.
Yeah.
And my company has really grown because of social media, because artists believe in it so much and it's made such a difference.
And they're talking about it.
And I'm telling you, I've never asked one person to post about it.
Well, I tell you what we're going to do, Tim. We're going to tell people about it.
Yes, we are.
Because just like you just said, I've had artists tell me about voice tea.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And some of the ones you've mentioned are people that have told me about it. And that's amazing.
Wow,
amazing to think about. Here's what we know. We know that ministry is demanding on the vocal instrument.
It is.
We know it is because you're talking all the time. You're singing all the time and all that stuff. Yeah. And the leaders of our churches are stewarding something, their voice. They're stewarding it. And there are people listening to us talk about this today, I hope, have had a sense of conviction about how they've stewarded their voices, because there is a day out there when you're going to wake up and you're going to need your voice to do something and it won't be able to deliver. And here's the most, let's make a spiritual application here. Can you imagine the day God's mighty warrior is out there in battle and he needs his weapon and it's not there? And God's work is affected by the readiness of our spirit, but also the readiness of our instrument.
Yes.
And I hope our podcast with you have inspired some of the folks listening.
Yeah, it's so important. And it's important to get educated, and it's important to have people around you who understand the voice and understand how to help you. And Mark Hall said this one time. He said, I've always been motivated to get voice help when I'm in trouble.
Mm.
And
it's almost too late, isn't it?
It's too late.
Yeah.
You know, when you've hit critical mass or, you know, a critical point, or you have pathology or you have some injury, that you've gone past the time. And, you were motivated by fear, right?
Yeah.
Because you got to that point where it's like,
I could lose this thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And I know that God has called me to do something here, and I'm jeopardizing the calling by not not stewarding my gift appropriately.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I would just encourage people, look, if you are a director and you need someone to come in and talk to your people or educate your people, there are people like myself and others who come and do that.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, I love the local church.
Yeah.
I mean, you all are the hands and feet.
Mm.
You're out there. You know, I think people look at my job and they think, oh, it's very glamorous. You get to work with all these wonderful people. Yes, but there's a soberness about what I do too, because I realize that what I'm doing is oftentimes I'm holding up their arms and helping them spread the gospel. You know,
absolutely,
and helping them use their voice in a healthy way so that they can do it long term.
Yeah,
because God has that calling on their lives, but God has that calling on all of our lives within the context of the local church and our daily lives.
Yeah,
and so if you need some education, call me.
Yeah.
Call someone who specializes in it. Get the resources. Go to Lifeway. Find these podcasts.
Yeah.
Find the resources to help people do what they are called to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Diane, there's no doubt in my mind God's raised you up to help singers and churches. Mm. And that's why we wanted you to have you here, and we want you to come back.
Oh, I'd love to.
And can I keep this?
You bet.
Because I'm going to try some voice tea.
Yes.
I've never had it. I've heard all about it. I'm going to try it. So, Tim, I want you to tell me if you hear a difference.
I will.
Okay, all right.
thank
you, Diane.
Yeah.
It's been awesome to hang out with you.
Yes, thank you, Diane, for your passion for the voice, your passion for God and ministry and for people. So we're just glad God gave Diane Sheets to the world. Yes, definitely. And if you'd like to comment, please go to worshiplife.com and comment on this podcast. Be sure and like it and share it with your friends or with the people in ministry that you feel like need to hear some of this stuff. You know, let them be encouraged. And also go to worship@lifeway.com and email us with any questions.
I want to throw one more thought in.
Yeah, yeah.
It occurs to me there may be somebody listening to this podcast whose pastor is struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Vocally.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And because there are a lot of, you know, they call it the Monday morning voice when that pastor gets up on Monday and he can hardly, that means he preached hard and all that. And maybe your pastor could use some of this information. And I'd encourage you to take advantage of that for his benefit. If you could go to your pastor, Pastor, I've heard something about vocal health that may be helpful to you.
Right.
It might be a great way for you to help your pastor.
Right, definitely. So share that along. And be sure and just comment. I forget where I was in it. Where was I in this exit? What did I say? I already said that? Okay. And then we'll insert that.
You know, Brian doesn't lose his place.
I know. He's great at this.
He does. He does.
Y'all both.
I interrupt him all the time.
I know. He never
throws
him. You always have something to say, and he can say exactly the same thing every time. So this is Tim Henning with the Worship Life Podcast with Mike Harlan. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you again real soon.
Somewhere in there, you've got what you need.
I think I do.